Good morning, everyone. I know this is hard for you at 9 o'clock, but can we please stand? It's like, oh, I just sat down. No, and if you can open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28, just one verse. And Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. And then one other verse, you don't have to turn there, but Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 says this. And this is a beautiful verse we think about. And this is key for our lives. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Pray with me. Father, this week you have spoken clearly, repeatedly, on purpose to each one of us. Thank you. A full week, full of life, full of your character and nature, full of the body of Christ, a revelation of the finished work, missions, eternal purpose, souls. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. This morning we come before your throne and we just ask you would continually to pour out to each one of us. Give us an ear. Give us an ear, Lord. Teach us that we are listening, we are hearing to your voice, to your plan, to your thoughts, that we might serve our generation by the will of God. Lord, bless this message and prepare our hearts for the message to come. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So the theme of the conference was a sure foundation. And I like that because when we think about that which is sure, and this is why we read Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, because it says the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. What's interesting with men is men begin with the earth, right? The earth, the things that are created on the earth. So even the wisest man on the earth begins with the earth. But I love it because, you know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about different foundations. And, you know, a foundation, this is what Webster defines a foundation. The basis of an edifice or a structure, that part of a building which lies on the ground. It can consist of stones, rocks, bricks, cement. The act of fixing or establishing the basis or groundwork or anything, that on which anything stands and by which it is supported. And this is interesting. In Webster's, it defines this as a free government has its foundation in the choice and consent of the people to be governed. So even in our government, it has a foundation. And everything we think about, you know, whether it's a building or a family or an organization or an institution, has a foundation. It has a beginning. And then I was thinking about, you know, famous foundations or, you know, that people give to. There's the Bill Gates Foundation, founded in the United States, Rockefeller Foundation, the Novo Nordisk Foundation, which is Denmark, the Stichting Inca Foundation, which is in the Netherlands, the Wellcome Trust, which is in the UK, Howard Hughes Medical Institute in the United States, the Azim Perinji, which is in India, Foundation, Open Society Foundation in the United States, the Garfield Western Foundation in the UK, the Lilly Endowment in the U.S., the Ford Foundation in the U.S. And, you know, these are institutions, and these, I'm sure, are great institutions. I don't know much about a lot of them. But what's the common ground with all these institutions is they are either founded by men or women that are created, human beings. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, God says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, no other foundation can we lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we think about the foundation of our faith, the foundation of who we are as believers in Christ. And you know what's amazing is our confidence is the foundation was established before the foundation of the world. God, who is eternal, long before the earth was created, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But the same God who loves the world is the same God who created the world. And God said in Genesis, and God said. And that's awesome, because this week we were just hearing about how this foundation is sure. When something is sure, I love it. It means it's fixed. It's immovable. It's established. No compromise. This is awesome. It is ordained. It is unfailing. It is infallible. It is certain. It's having full confidence. It is safe. It is firm. It is permanent. It is without doubt. And all that man can talk about is a foundation that was started with the earth. So it means it has a limitation. And this is awesome, but our foundation is in heaven. Think of this with me. This is amazing. Matthew 13:35, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34, come thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The beginning, before the world was, when God gives a promise, it is based on his character and nature, unfailing. He cannot fail. And this is like this week, I don't know about you, but every session for me this week was God saying, I am faithful. I am faithful. I am certain. You can build your life on me. You can build your marriage on me. You can build your family on me. You can build, like, the mission is built on God, not on men. It is on God. It's his work. It's his work. And you know, you ever been uncertain? Anyone in this room, you've been uncertain about something? Maybe you started off certain, but then you looked at yourself and all of a sudden, you know what? We become uncertain. But I love this. We look unto Jesus, the author or the one who has founded and the finisher of faith. Not mine, his. Not mine, his. You know, this is amazing because, like I don't know, but like when we think about that God is doing it, we begin to relax. I love what Pastor Roger Robbins IV said, as far as a young man going on the mission field as an American. He said, I'm only a plane trip away from the U.S. And as I was listening, all of a sudden, missions became very real again. Maybe you're in this room and maybe you have been on the mission field and you've taken a mission trip. And maybe time has passed. And all of a sudden you're thinking, yeah, God did that then. And God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll do it again. Can you trust me again? See, because if the foundation is built on men, and I read a number of great foundations, but you know what? Unfortunately, at some point in time, the founder or the founders will die. And maybe the foundation may not remain. But you know what's amazing? We are certain that God is faithful. He's not a man that he can lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. When God gives you a promise, it is built upon him as the foundation. Not you, not me, him. So we are certain. There's a confidence that comes in our life. You know, and you ever think about how deep, when you look at skyscrapers, and you're just looking at a skyscraper, and you realize, wow, that thing is huge. But you know what we don't see with a skyscraper? Its foundation. Its foundation goes so deep. Because you can only build up as you build down. And think of any work of God in this room. Look at your life and realize there is a firm foundation under us that we are not moved. We are not greatly moved because of Christ. And I love this. Think of this verse with me. Ephesians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God begins the foundation. He begins it. He has a vision. 1 Corinthians 3. Paul says, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. And God has a foundation. He begins it. You remember when God began in our lives and the first time we heard the word of God? And all of a sudden, we realized God loved us. It was a foundation. Maybe before you questioned if God even knew who you were. I did as a young man. I wasn't sure. I had gone to church, but I wasn't sure that God loved me until I heard for the first time in a Greater Grace church that God loved me personally. And it was a foundation. And it was awesome. And then when I got saved, foundation. And then when I first came to Bible college, foundation. First time I went soul winning, foundation. First time I went on the mission field, foundation was established. When I got married, a foundation was established. When my daughter was born, a foundation was established. And God has began foundations in our lives. But you know what's happened sometimes? We understand God started something, but we say, Lord, are you going to finish this? Because somewhere in the between the time he lays the foundation, we kind of get a little bit lax and we begin to wonder, God, what are you doing? Maybe like in Abram, in Genesis chapter 12, God appears to him and says to him to leave his father's house. And God gives him a promise, I will make of you a great nation. I will make your name great. And from Genesis chapter 12, Lot goes and there's problems, there's strife. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, God comes again and says to Abraham, Abraham, I am your shield and exceeding great reward. God confirms what he started in Abraham. Though failure, though strife, though problems, though difficulties happen, God said, I laid the foundation and I am the one who's building you. And then in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, fear not, Abraham. I am the Lord thy God. So constantly, God is coming back and letting us know, hey, I didn't make a mistake when I started something in your life. I didn't make a mistake. You may think I made a mistake. Lord, you got the wrong person, God. No, I didn't. I know who I am. This work is not a work of men. It is not a work of men. It is a work of God. And he lays the foundation. He begins it. And you know what he also does? He will finish it. He will finish it. He lays the foundation. He knows what he's doing. He's building with silver, gold, and precious stones. And he will finish it. Until the day. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day. Whatever that means for you and me. It may mean till the day that he takes me home or the day that God and Christ returns on the earth. But God is the one who will finish it until the day. His foundation, immovable. He shakes the things that can be shaken so that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Those things are the things that he has established. The things that I establish can be shaken. I can be shaken. I can be moved. But when I look unto Christ, I say, Lord, this is not about me. This is about you. This is not about me. If it was about me, woe unto me. Isaiah 6, I am unclean and undone. And when my eyes see the Lord, wow. But I love what God does. He takes that coal in each one of our lives. And he purges our mouths. And he cleanses us. And you know what's amazing? As he's cleansing, our ears get unstopped. You ever had wax in your ears? You're not hearing right. Water in the ears. I'm not hearing right. I'm hearing the noise of my soul. I'm hearing the foundation of me. And I'm shaking. But as God cleanses me, I hear of another foundation, which is established. It is sure. It is fixed. It is reliable. It is certain. It is Christ and Christ alone. And that's what we love. We sing, in Christ alone, I place my trust. In Christ alone, I place my trust. And this is interesting. I love this verse. I was reading it this morning. It's Ezekiel 13:14. This is what God says. So I will break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall. And you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And that ministered to me, because I realize I've built sandcastles, and wow, look at the sandcastle. Here comes the wave. Where'd the sandcastle go? It's gone. It's gone. But when Christ builds it, he builds it upon the rock of himself. And no wave, no storm, no battle, no failure, no sin, no shame can remove his foundation. And that's how we stand. You know, in closing, just think about this. When God is beginning the work and God is faithful in the work, it's his work, and God finishes the work, you know what it produces in me and you? Confidence. That's the thing that this week was for me. Confidence. Not in me, but in the Lord. This is his work. I am his work. You are his work. And when we understand he has laid the foundation, and we understand he is building upon a firm foundation that shall not be moved, when we understand it's a good work because it's laid on him as a foundation and he is building it, and we understand that he will be faithful. He's faithful to lay the foundation. He's faithful in the building process. He is faithful to finish it. It produces confidence. Pastor Barry and I were talking. We were sitting under the tent, and this was amazing. And I think if it was not a week ago, a couple weeks ago, a young man who we met a long time ago, right? Down in Chickweb, down in Baltimore City. And this young man is older now. We're all getting older. He's married and he has children. And he's coming to GGCA. And he has a mask on and he looks at Pastor Barry. He's like, "Hey, Bear." And Pastor Barry's looking at him. And his name is Keith. Amazing young man. And we just sat down and we began to remember what it was to serve in Baltimore City. Flag House, Lafayette Courts, Frederick Douglass, Latrobe, Perkins Homes, Somerset. And what's amazing is time has passed, but you know what has not passed? The foundation that these young men were established upon. Because we see them today. And they're like, "Hey, Gene, hey, Barry, you know, remember, I still remember this." And then they start introducing their kids to us. And the kids looking at me, "Who are you?" "What is Bear?" They don't call him Pastor Barry. They call him Bear. "It's Bear." You know, and the foundation was basketball, but it wasn't basketball. It was the halftime devotionals where the Word of God was opened. And these young men, crazy situations, crazy circumstances, didn't know if things were coming or going sometimes. But what was certain? Jesus Christ in their lives. And God established them on a firm foundation. And it's sure and reliable. And close to 30 years plus have passed, but the foundation remains. And these young men are now exposing their families and their children to the same foundation that they were built upon. That's the only confidence they have. So think about this week, in each one of our lives, let's not these things be taken away from us. The devil loves to come in with details of life and say, "Yeah, that was God, but you got to get back to reality." No, reality is that Jesus Christ is for me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He has begun a good work in me. He will be faithful to complete it to the day of Christ. That's reality. And that's what gives us great confidence. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. We are established individually and corporately on a sure foundation. It is certain, it is fixed, it is eternal. It cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. Father, thank you. What this week means to us, not only to us, but to the entire world. Because God, you are still in the business of laying a sure foundation, not of men, but of God. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, stand and then just for a minute, just turn to your neighbor and just encourage them with a smile, with an attitude, a word. And you say, "Good to see you. God bless you." Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all you people. Yeah, well. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to speak from my heart, and it's going to get a hold of you. And you're going to just kind of get very interested in what I want to say. For some of you, you are leaving after this service, right? There's the Billy and his family, and who else? Pastor Ron, are you here? Maybe Pastor Bruce, you here? Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, here we go. Ready? Acts chapter 5 and verse 19. And thank you, Pastor Eugene. Great message on the foundation. Yeah, very good. And this is a follow-up on that. And here's the principle. I'll draw a picture. You have God and His will. Let's make it a little bit stronger. God and His will. God and His mind. His truth. His nature. Then you have earthly governments, and they make laws. And then there's you and I, and we are here, and we are subject to both, aren't we? We are subject to the government at hand, Romans 13, and then we are also subject to God. Are we subject to both? We are. Did anybody speed coming to church this morning on the highway? Remember that story about Pastor Mati? And his mother said, did you take the cookies? He goes, no. He goes, take your finger. His mother said, take your finger and go like this and answer my question. Did you take the cookies? And he goes, yes, I did. Hey, you know, we are, okay. Now, wait a minute. Pray for me. Lord, bless this in your name. Amen. Okay, Acts 5:19. Read it out loud, please. But Peter and John answered. What? Are we together? Is it Acts? I'm sorry. It's 4:19. Yeah, 4:19. Ready? But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Is it we should obey you, but we should also obey God, and which, when they contradict each other, when the law of man contradicts the law of God, what am I going to do? All right, what am I going to do? Because I'm afraid of men, I'm going to obey men. But if I fear God, I'm going to obey God. Is that correct? All right, you know, Romans 13 teaches, turn there with me, Romans 13, you know the portion, 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. These are earthly governmental powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Is that correct? So he's actually saying this government of men is really from God. Now we have a problem. What if the government that is of God, the earthly government, is teaching you something that contradicts God? Now what are we going to do? Huh? Oh my gosh, I told you I'd get your attention. You guys are into it now. You're starting to come alive. There's some adrenaline going on. Yeah, tell me to fight. Tell me to pick up my weapons and fight. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, and we'll see it in a minute, go to verse 2 of Romans 13. Whosoever therefore resists the power of the earthly government, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So if we resist the earthly government, we will get in trouble, and we will find ourselves resisting the ordinance of God. However, verse 3, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil works. That's the key. What if the rulers are a terror to good people? What if the rulers of the government of, you know, our country, our state, our city, and so on, are a terror to good people? What if they are a terror to the Christian people? What if they put the Christian people in jail? What if they are a terror to the good people? There are good people, you know, morally good people. There are people that do not agree with what the state is saying. The state is saying that a boy says he's a girl, and then everybody gets behind the idea that he's a girl. That is evil. That is wicked. I do not believe that. That violates what you are a terror to the good people. Think about it. I'm not speaking am I speaking in absolute terms and principle? Yes, I am. What it means for us, you have to digest it. There have been many governments on the earth, the communists, the obvious ones, communism, there is no God. The government says there is no God. They teach it all the time in the school. There is no God. There is no God. I'm a Christian. There is God. I believe in God. I read my Bible. I obey God. I trust in God. I have fellowship with God's people. You are a terror to good people. That's a problem. Go to the next portion. It says, verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." We would hope so. But it is possible that they call evil good. Isaiah 5, verse 20. It's possible they call sweet bitter. It's possible they say that Christians are the problem. Christians are the problem in this world. They're not in the program. They're not in the socialistic direction. They're not in the spirit of the age. Another example in history is the Nazi government in Germany. They were a terror to good people. They were a murderous, deceived, proud, arrogant, racist government that murdered and persecuted and brought terror to good people. Am I going to obey them? I'm afraid that some did. I'm afraid that some Christians did not have the discernment. They did not have the courage. They did not have the faith. And of course, some of them were put in camps and some of them were murdered by the government. They were murdered by the government. Don't misunderstand me. We obey the government as much as possible. But I want you to wake up. Don't put your head in the sand. I want you to wake up and be a lively believer. That is saying that I want to follow Jesus Christ and build my life on a foundation so when things are shaken, I'll not be ashamed. When things are shaken, there will be fruit, there will be life, there will be vibrancy, there will be revival. What our country needs is people to stand up and believe in the right thing and walk in truth and have it in their spirit, not only in their moral conscience. But it's got to be more. When Mordecai would not bow down to Haman, it bothered Haman. And I'm telling you, there's an evil in the world where the devil would like us to bow down to his lies, and I am not wanting to do it because I don't believe in that. I don't care about that. I'm of a different kind. We are cut from a different cloth. We are from Jesus Christ. We have the spirit of Jesus, the mind of Jesus, and the persuasion of Jesus, don't we? But there is a covering that is too short for us, and I think at 11 o'clock service I'll speak about it on Isaiah 28. There is a covering or a blanket that is too short and too narrow, and it means it's not enough for me. It's not enough for me. I've traveled. I remember I was, you know where the coldest place I was, I think, that I've ever, I lived in Finland, 40 degrees below zero in the winter. And a few winters back in the 1970s, it was freezing. But you know where the coldest place I was? I was on a bus in the Philippines. And the bus air conditioner was like a freezer. And I had like tropical clothing, I mean, clothing for the tropics. And I just had like, you know, I was trying to get warm. And I just had like some little towel or something. And I was just trying to I was 8 hour bus ride freezing the whole trip. Anyway, have you ever had a little cloth that cannot cover you? Have you ever had a little bit of water and it wasn't enough? Have you ever had a, like something and it just didn't meet the need? Did you ever have a dollar and you needed three? Were you ever a minute short, a minute late? Did you miss the ride, the boat, the ferry, the bus, the train, the plane? Because you miss it by 30 seconds. That's what this world is doing. But not when you obey Jesus Christ. Not when you walk with Jesus Christ. Not when you forsake not the assembly. Not when you gather often all the more as you see the day approaching. Anybody get an idea that there's something going on that is against the church? They closed down the churches in California. They closed down the churches wherever. And we are saying, what are you talking about? They go, yeah, but look at here. Look at the diagram. These are the people you obey. And we say, what about what God says to us? What are we going to embrace? What God says? Go to the next part and we're going to finish. It says, Romans 13, where did we leave it? Verse 3. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. We would hope so. We would hope they would protect our businesses. We hope they would protect our houses and our families. We hope they would protect our libraries and our courthouses. I hope they would protect our streets and our neighborhoods. I hope they would, if they are a terror to the evil, then I would like them to be a terror to the evil, not a terror to the good. It's upside down. So if that day comes, I want you to be awake, and I want you to be alive, and I don't want you to blame the church. I don't want you to blame the Christianity. I don't want you to blame God. I don't want you to blame the Bible. I want you to recognize where the whole problem lies. And if we got bad leaders, who is to blame? Us. And if we got bad leaders, then what are we going to do about it? Evangelize. What are we going to do? Pray. What are we going to do? Preach the gospel. Because the way an evil man changes is through the gospel. The way a man's life changes is by the Holy Spirit to change his heart. That happened to you and me. And that's what we're going to do. The more evil it gets, the more evangelical I want to be. The more I want to show up at the church with my prayer Bible and my Bible and my prayers and my love. And the more I want to show up in the body and the more I want to be active, pour it on, devil, and we will pour it on too. We will pour it on also. We're going to be somewhere, do something. Now, you know, if you get a little bit afraid of this kind of talk, don't worry about it because it doesn't come very often. However, remember what I said today. Because some things are not right. They are not right, and I don't expect you to swallow it. I do not expect you to go. I do not expect you to believe the garbage that comes through our movies and our culture and everything. I don't expect you to be like those people. I expect you, be ye holy, for I am holy. I expect you and I to have something going on in our hearts and minds. And when Adolf Hitler said that the Aryan race is superior to all the other races, he's a liar. And when he said things that were anti-Semitic, he's a liar. And when he has his power lust and he is I do not agree with him. I am against him. I am against it. And I pray for a revival in Germany. That's the way you approach it. But it takes humility. It takes a walk with God. It takes the foundation that Pastor was talking about. It takes a brokenness before God. That's what, that is important. And you know, so I got to finish here. I want to read the one more because it's, look at Romans 13, verse, will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good and you shall have praise of the same. We've lived like that for decades in America. We do what is good and the good government congratulates us. We do good things and the good government says thank you. The good government is for the good people. The people are to be good, and the government is to recognize it and reinforce goodness and reinforce traditional family, moms and dads and kids, and raise up kids to be Boy Scouts and honest and have integrity and trust and goodwill and good intention and hard work and loyalty and faith and so on, because our personal life is built on the right foundation. It's spiritual. Verse 4, lastly, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. But we are not doing what is evil, but it's called civil disobedience. When I don't agree, and like what John and Peter said, you judge if it's better for us to obey God or obey men. But I would like to obey both. Yes, I would. But if they are contrary and they say, stop talking about Jesus Christ. Stop talking about Jesus Christ is what they did say. Stop it. And they put him in jail and so on. So they're forced to say, I cannot stop. I cannot believing in what is true. I cannot stop. And by the way, let me finish with this last thing. Don't blame, hey, when the election comes and we elect mayors in New York and governors in California and Ohio and Texas and Maryland and every other place and the president and so on and all that, you know who gets elected? The person that people vote for. What are you voting for? Do you know what the issues are? Do you know where people stand in regards to what we believe and what the Bible is saying? Do you have any conviction in your heart about it? And then you go to the voting booth and you vote, and it's private and personal and it's your business, unless you want to make it public. But nobody's investigating and nobody cares. I'm not caring about it, but I do care about you and I walking right before God. And maybe you will be accountable to God for who you are voting for, what you are believing, what you are backing up. And please vote and make a decision and vote. It's important. These are important days. Guys, I do not know how it will go in the next year, 2 years, 5, 10 years. I wonder how it will go. And I am concerned. So that's why I told you I would get your attention. So let's pray. So Lord, we thank you for the message Pastor Eugene gave on the right foundation, and it's an honor to live in a country of peace and freedom. It's an honor to be able to travel and have a phone and a computer. It's an honor to be able to talk and to preach and to be free like we are today. But we are pushing forward in love, and we want to reach people with the gospel and help them find Jesus Christ in a personal way. Thank you for our week. We had a great week together. Thank you, and bless abroad and everywhere, Lord. in your work, in your ministry, we pray. And then anyone here listening to my voice, and we just invite you to come to Jesus Christ. He is the resurrected Christ, the answer for your life. Please come to him today by faith. By faith, say to Jesus, I believe in you. I trust you. Help me answer my questions. Whatever you want to do, I have them. But help me. I, by faith, trust in you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.